Lord God, as we look to you this day, seeking wisdom and vision, as we open your word together this morning, hoping to love you with all our strength, God, open our hearts to receive your heart once again. Open our eyes to see all the joy and peace you might have for us and for all your precious children. Open our ears to hear your comfort and your call. And open our hands that we might be your disciples and servants in your world. Amen. Well, friends, as we take a few moments to consider this powerful, wonderful scripture before us today, I don't have anything majorly intense planned here. I really do just want to invite us to think about these two themes of joy and peace. Say that with me, joy and peace. Say it again, joy and peace. If you start getting sleepy, I'm going to make you say that in some other words in our scripture today. The joy and peace that are so prevalent in Paul's letter to the Philippians are just incredible. And as always, you know, I got to take a few minutes here to just give you some context, because that's what I love to do. It helps us hear and learn from God with more clarity and insight when we know what's going on back then. So of course, we know from what I read this morning, right, that Paul is writing a letter to the church in Philippi, this wonderful congregation, and he's writing from a prison cell. And I don't know if you know this, but Paul was in quite a few prison cells in his day. So we don't know exactly which prison he was in, nor which of his many imprisonments this was. But what we learn in chapter 2 of this letter is that the Philippians have recently sent someone to Paul to be helpful to him during his imprisonment. And this is something I just learned, and so I just had to share it with you. This Philippian missionary, this dear one whom the church sends on their behalf and as their sort of representative to encourage and to support Paul, goes by the name of, get ready for it, Epaphroditus. Again, very tempting to make you repeat that with me. But instead, we're just going to have a quiz at the end of the service. And if you want cake at the reception later, then you're going to have to spell it correctly, okay? I'm just kidding. All kidding aside, Epaphroditus is incredibly significant, though, in that he seems to have this tremendous impact on Paul's heart and on Paul's entire countenance, right? Again, this is during a man's imprisonment that he writes these words of joy and peace, because even though Paul is in what I can only imagine would have been a dark and difficult time when he writes this letter, he seems to be overwhelmed with joy by the intentionality and the gracious response of this beloved community of faith as they send Epaphroditus, which is effectively a response, right, to all of God's goodness, all of God's grace in their midst. Their actions deeply affect Paul, and all the joy and the peace that we hear about in this letter, well, it's like Paul is seeing that same goodness and grace of God on full display even from this prison cell. What we do matters, right? The things we initiate and intentionally walk towards. Friends, the joy and the rejoicing that Paul names more than a dozen times in this short letter to the Philippians, and especially in chapter 4, verse 4, that we read today, all of that joy and rejoicing come not only because of the tremendous grace and work that God has done in Paul's own life, which is always he gives beautiful voice to in this letter, but also because of the way this community in Philippi is seeking to live their lives intentionally and faithfully as followers of Jesus Christ. When Paul is in need, they show up for him. And this clearly reminds him of the many things he loves about them and how faithful they are in their communal walk with Christ. Now, within the rest of this letter, the full letter itself, you know, we learn that this community is not perfect. I know that's a shocker, right? They're not perfect. There's evidence that conflicts come up. There's evidence that some harm is done. And yet, Paul also seems to note that miraculously, this community is maybe pretty good at addressing conflicts. They're pretty good at resolving and addressing harm. They seem to do well with sticking to each other through thick and thin. They seem to be really honest. They sound like they're pretty authentic and sincere in their faith. And the result is that Paul is laser focused on just naming with joy that intentional discipleship that he sees in them, affirming them, encouraging them to continue to walk closely with Christ in their lives together as the body of Christ. It's like he's so overwhelmed by their generosity of heart and this communal support of him and one another that his joy nearly leaps off the pages of this letter, right? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness or your forbearance, is another wonderful translation, says, be known to everyone. The Lord is near, so do not worry about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and then the peace of God, the shalom of God, which passes all understanding, this will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, as I think about this incredible community of faith, this imperfect yet authentic and caring church, this community for whom Paul rebukes anxiety and worry and encourages continued authentic prayer and connection with God, you know, I can honestly say that I relate to the joy Paul expresses in this letter, because such a caring community of faith reminds me of you. Reminds me of the joy and the peace that I have come to know in Jesus Christ again, not only because of all that God has done in my own heart and life, but also because of all that God has done through this congregation to reach not only me, but countless others with the love and with the grace of God. Like Paul, I find a whole lot of joy when I think of Cokesbury and the impact this congregation has had on me and many throughout the years. And like Paul, I find myself wanting to name just a little bit of that joy, right? I mean, if I had to name, say, my top three or four joys when I think of this congregation, don't anybody get nervous. I'm not going to embarrass anybody, maybe myself. The first joy that comes to mind for me is singing and learning the butterfly song over in the old sanctuary, which is now Bullington Hall, as a preschooler at the Cokesbury Children's Center. It's not a real strong memory. It's kind of hazy because I was probably only 3 or 4 years old, but I can hear Reverend Joe Bullington singing that song. And I remember what it felt like when he and so many other teachers and members of this congregation told me that I was unique, that God made me special, that I was precious to God. And so was every single other person that I would ever meet. Everyone is precious to God. Another joy that comes to mind for me is all the leadership and service opportunities I was given as a young person, as a student in this congregation. And we all still see this taking place, don't we? Our amazing students. Cokesburyans of all ages serve our church and our community. They serve here locally. They serve overseas. And I learned pretty quickly as a young person that y'all like to stay really active in ministry here on this corner of North 9th Avenue. Right, Pastor Sheila? There's no room for slouches in the Cokesbury congregation. God calls us to engage, and you all taught me that we joyfully go. God sends us out of our comfort zones, and we might not always be sure, but my goodness, we show up in full force to offer God's love to all God's people. I think of the deep joy that comes for me knowing that I very much root my call to ordained ministry in the unconditional love and grace that I experienced in my childhood and especially here in this church. Friends, you know what a gift it is to know that you are accepted and loved just as you are, and yet that you are also called to live into that acceptance and love by intentionally engaging it and sharing it with everyone you meet. I learned that here. I think of the joy now as a pastor of some of that kind of coming full circle, right? I'm the dorky pastor standing in front of the Cokesbury Children's Center at chapel teaching them the butterfly song, and I have this holy honor of telling them, each and every one of you is special, you are precious, and God loves you so very much. I have the honor of engaging with our youth and our young people in these hard, holy conversations about injustice and about service and about how God calls us to speak into these places, how we're not to be afraid to go where the hurt and the pain really are, and we should have the courage to live like the love of God in Christ really can help us to redeem and restore and make whole things that are broken. I have the honor of partnering with every generation in this lovely, precious congregation as we share this deep love of worship together. It's such a joy to be in worship with you all. We grow in our faith together, and it is such a joy to study scripture with you. You're not afraid to ask hard questions. You're not afraid to do some holy wondering and to ask God to be real in your lives. I love that we serve God together, and I'm sure we don't always agree on how to do all of that all the time. And yet we, like the church at Philippi, are often brave enough to risk being honest and being vulnerable with one another, looking for every opportunity we can get our hands on to simply grow in our love of God and grow in our love of neighbor, just as John Wesley would encourage us to do. Y'all are pretty good at being Methodists, so there's that. Church, it has been the deep joy of my life to belong to a community of faith that is intentionally and fully committed to God and to one another and to all God's precious children in God's precious world. I could stand up here and talk all day, but I won't. I could stand up here and name just a multitude of joy when I think about belonging to the Cokesbury family of faith. So today, friends, I want to invite you to think about this as well, right? Like Paul, I want to invite us to name and to share the joy you have in belonging to this community of faith too. Because Paul reminds us in this letter how important it is to name the joy, to name the good, to name the grace of God in our lives. So if you're worshiping with us online this morning, I want to invite you to feel free to comment the specific joy in the Lord that you have experienced because of this community of faith. Or if you are here today, then maybe you jot it down, or maybe you just think about it, bring it to mind, hold it in your heart, and then after worship, you go out and you share with someone that joy. Or if you're new here and you're still learning about this wonderful Cokesbury family, then I invite you to think back on other saints in your lives, communities around you that have given you joy because they are simply living like people who actually believe in God's goodness and in God's grace. And they are actively and intentionally living into that goodness and grace, running toward the things of God that will set this world right, that will renew and restore and make whole. Think of the joys. Name the joys, right? Because remember how Paul concludes this letter to the Philippians? He encourages his dear ones to focus on whatever is true, right? Whatever is honorable, things that are just and pure and pleasing and commendable, that if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, that they and that we should be thinking about these things, and that they and that we should keep on doing the things that we have learned and received and heard and seen in Paul and in the countless other faithful disciples who have helped us come to know God. And that as we prayerfully focus our hearts on such things, then the God of peace will be with us. And the peace of God, that peace that surpasses all understanding, that's the peace that is going to guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. You see, friends, what Paul is celebrating and commending at the end of this letter as he writes to this beloved congregation is that the joy of belonging to an authentic and intentional community of faith, the fruit of bringing our full and true selves before God in prayer, is nothing less than to live into the peace, the shalom, the salam, the wholeness and the renewal and the restoration the living God has, not only for us, but for all creation, right? Lisa Sharon Harper, in her book, The Very Good Gospel, great book, reminds us that the word for peace, shalom in Hebrew, Irene in Greek, it appears 550 times in the Bible. 550. And at its root, this word ultimately means well-being, healing, wholeness, abundance, restoration of relationships, the perfection of God's creation. Don't you want to belong to something like that? This is God's peace, and the peace of God, the shalom, the irene, the restoration and the wholeness. Friends, we glimpse this amazing goodness of God whenever we, as the body of Christ, we, as the community of faith, name the joy of the Lord in our lives. And then out of that joy, we live like the people of Christ, right? We live like the people of Philippi. We respond and we find it is not too hard to live more intentionally. It is not too hard to live more faithfully in both the big and the small things of life, to live for healing, to live for wholeness and well-being, and the restoration of all God's creation. We name the joy. Say that with me. We name the joy. We live the peace. Say that with me. We live the peace. And we trust that God will always be faithful to give us what we need to respond to God's goodness and grace, so that we too can belong to God's heart for this world. Friends, what is the joy of the Lord in your hearts and lives? Name it, speak it, live it. Where is the peace of the Lord in your hearts and lives? Name it, speak it, live it. And as we look to God to help us belong to God's joy and peace, God's heart for redemption, restoration, God's heart for wholeness, I wanted to invite us to pray together the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. This is a prayer that many of you know and love. I see Linda Baker in the congregation. It's a prayer on a bracelet that she gave me years ago. It's a prayer that I learned for the first time when I found it in our United Methodist hymnal. And it's a prayer that helps us worship God and give ourselves to the God of peace. Amen? All right, I think it's going to be on the screens behind me. And I want to invite us to pray it together today. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, let us live as children of joy and peace. Amen.